إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muharrar by Al-Sheikh Ibn Abdul Hadi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. The hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يكتفل أحدكم في الماء الدائم وهو جنب فقال كيف يفعل يا أبا هريرة قال يتناوله تناوله والصائد لا يعرف اسمه. The hadith of Abu Hurairah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يكتفل أحدكم في الماء الجاري. One of you should not take his bath. في الماء الجاري in the stagnant water. وهو جنوب. While he is having janaba. Why is having janaba? We have talked about defecating or urinating in the stagnant water, that this is not permissible to urinate in the stagnant water or to defecate in the stagnant water, because urinating in the stagnant water would make the water impure as time goes on. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade this. This that you are talking about now is having a stagnant water. Take for instance a bathtub filled with water, and somebody who is having janaba try to put himself or assess in this bathtub. So when it decides to take the ghusl of janaba from this bathtub, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he should not dip himself in this type of stagnant water, like the bathtub as an example given. So this is not something that is okay. Just as it is not okay for one to urinate in the stagnant water, like the bathtub mentioned, urinating in it will make it somehow exposed to filthiness. If you say the bathtub, the water is much, or the color of the water, or the taste, or the odor does not change going by the position of the Maliki school of thought, that of the opinion that when a fish falls in the water, as long as it does not change the taste or the color or the odor of the water, that the water is still pure, if we want to go by the Maliki school of thought. And if we want to go by the majority's view, that the bathtub, for instance, it will not be up to 2 kulla, will not be up to 2 kulla, so it will not be up to about 190 something liters, as I've mentioned. So for this reason, to them, when you relate a such a bathtub, that little urination or the little urine has made the water impure, and the water is not good for purification. The water is not good for purification. But when we go by the Maliki school of thought, who are of the opinion that even if the water has not been affected by the odor and the taste and the color, that is, the color of the water has not changed, the taste hasn't changed, the odor has not changed, that the water is still fit for purification. So they will also not support somebody urinating in it continuously. And for you to have urinated in such a bathtub once, so this will call for another person urinating in it, another person urinating in it, till it becomes what? Impure, not okay, till it is affected. So this is with respect to filth falling into a stagnant water. But the one that this hadith of Abu Hurairah is talking about now is not issue of filth falling into it, but the abstract impurity now, not physical impurity like urine, like feces, abstract impurity. The one who has janaba, such a person is impure. So if somebody who has janaba dips himself into a stagnant water, like the bathtub, this is a very good example. You have filled a bathtub with water and you are having janaba, and you keep yourself in that water. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one should not do so. One should not do so. Because you want to take the ghusl of janaba, you want to take the ghusl of janaba, and the water is stagnant, not a flowing water, like that of a stream, or that of a river, or that of a sea or ocean. So it's a stagnant water. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on this hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, said, لا يغتسل أحدكم في الماء الدائم وهو جنوب. One of you should not take his bath of janaba in his stagnant water. So the person asked Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, كيف يفعل يا أبا هريرة؟ How should he do, O Abu Hurairah? How should he relate with the stagnant water, like that in a pond, or like that in a bathtub? How should he do? قال يتناوله تناولا. He should take from it. He should take from the water and use it for the bath. But for him to dip himself or assess, for him to dip himself or for her to dip herself in the water, so this goes against the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For if he does so, what happens to the water? Is the water going to become filthy? As you have said, in the case of the physical impurity falling in stagnant water. Now, this is not physical impurity. This is abstract impurity. So if the person that wants to take the ghusl of janaba or the ghusl of eyes dips himself or herself in that stagnant water and he takes the ghusl of janaba there or the ghusl of eyes, what happens to the water? You know, the water is still in the bathtub, for instance. So are we going to say this water in the bathtub is still okay? It's still Mount Tahur, it's still a water that is good for purification. Or we say it is no more okay for purification. It can no longer use. The Jumhur of the scholars, they refer to this type of water as Al-Ma'ul Musta'amal, used water. The water that they call used water is the water that somebody has used in order to lift the hadath al-akbar or hadath al-asghar, what he has used to lift the major or the minor impurity, the major or minor abstract impurity, the water that you have used in lifting it, this is called al-ma'u al-musta'amal. Like the one we mentioned in the bathtub, for instance, it will be regarded as al-ma'ul musta'mal, because the person has used that water to lift janaba from his body. So the water that is there is called al-ma'ul musta'mal. Or, for instance, if I'm performing ablution, the water that is dropping, the dropping, when I'm performing ablution or I'm taking my ghusl, the water that is dropping from my body, from the pipe or the areas that I'm washing in my body, this water is called al-ma'ul musta'amal. Al-ma'ul musta'amal, this according to Jumhur of the scholars, they believe that it is not fit for purification. It is not good for purification. So you can no longer use it. Take, for instance, hot water as I'm washing my body, washing my face. So if somebody collects the water, or I myself collect the water in a bowl, can I still use the water to perform another ablution? Can somebody else use the water to perform ablution or to perform ghusl? The Jumhur of the scholars will say no. It can no longer use it because it has become what al-ma'u al-musta'amal. It has been used to lift a major or a minor abstract impurity. So you can't use it. Just as if it has been corrupted, so to say, or it has been affected by the physical impurity. The same thing we are going to say here, that if this water has been affected by the abstract impurity, be it major or minor, so the word of the scholar will say you shouldn't use it. So, and that's the reason they said, when the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, لا يكتسل أحدكم في الماء الدائم ثم يكتسل في من الجنابة أو لا يكتسل أحدكم في الماء الدائم وهو جنوب. So one of you should not take his bath of janaba from the stagnant water. This is because it renders the water to be musta'amal, and ma'ul musta'amal is said to be what? Ma'ul la yusihru atatahuru bih. It's water that it is not good for one to use it for purification. However, some scholars are of the opinion that one can use it for purification. One can still use it for purification. Some scholars, they hold this position that you can still use it for purification. And they portray this with some arguments. with some evidences that suggest that one can still use the water for purification. One can still use the water for purification. So inshallah, we are still going to talk about that. So the next hadith, وَنْ عَمْرِ بِنْ جِنَارِ قَالَ علمي والذي يخطر على بالي أن أبا شعفاء أخبرني أن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أخبره أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتكفل بفضل ميمونة. عمرو بن دينار said, علمي what I know والذي يخطر على بالي and what occurs to me أن أبا شعفاء أبو شعفاء جابر بن زيد رضي الله عنه أخبرني informed me أن ابن عباس that عبد الله بن son of العباس رضي الله عنهما الله be pleased with him and his father أخبره told him أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتكفل بفضل ميمونة who takes his bath with the leftover water used by Maymuna. Who is Maymuna? Or who was Maymuna? Maymuna was one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith, does it go against the previous hadith that you have read in any way? Now, there is a difference between Fadlu al-Ma and what al-Ma al-Musta'amal, the leftover water and the used water. As you can see from the translation, the leftover water and the used water. If somebody carries a bowl, for instance, filled with water, and it starts performing ablution from the bowl of water. The water that is using to wash the path of ablution, dropping, the water that it is using to wash the path of ablution, that is dropping, this is called what al-ma'ul musta'amal, used water. If somebody is taking ghusl of janaba, when he washes or she washes her body, the water dropping, that is the drops, are called what? Used water. Al-Mawl Musta'amal, as you have explained. But the water that is left in the bowl after the completion of the ablution or after the completion of the ghusl, this is called what? Fadlu Ma'i, the leftover water, fadl ma, meaning what, the leftover water. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used the leftover water of Maymuna to take his bath. So meaning there is a difference between what it says, that we should not use the used water to bath. That we should not use the used water towards to bath. And that is, we shouldn't use a, we should not take our bath in a stagnant water. We said because this will lead to what? Used water. It will make the water become used. And when it becomes used water, we said, some scholars say you can no longer use it. Why some scholars, minority of the scholars, they are of the opinion that it's because you are taking bath in the stagnant water will make the water look somehow to people. That is, people who have all the water, they will not want to use it because somebody has washed himself or herself in the water and the water is not flowing. So the things that come out of the body of the person as mixed with the water. So this will make it somehow abhorrent. So they said this is the reason. It is not because the water has become what? Ghayr mutahhir. Has become something that you cannot use to lift impurity, the abstract impurity from your body. How this is left. So the fadlul ma, what is left in the bowl, this is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was said to have used it. That is the one used by Maymuna. What is left? The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it. وَرُوِيَ أَنْ سِمَعْ بِنْ حَرْبِ. It was also reported from Simad, the son of Harb, and Ikrima from Ikrima, and Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, from Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, قال اكتفل بعض أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في جفنة. One of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took a bath في جفنة from a bowl. فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضأ منها. Then the Messenger of Allah came in order to perform ablution from the leftover water. How he is testing or to take bath from the leftover water. فقالت لا. Then she said to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, إني كنت جنوبا, I was having janaba. That means, I had janaba, so and I took my ghusl from this water, and the water that was used in performing ablution of ghusl is the leftover water of my ghusl of janaba. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ الْمَاءَ لَا يُجْنِبُ. أو إن الماء لا يجنب. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to us, the water does not catch janaba. The water does not catch janaba. It is you that have caught janaba, not the water. So the water that you have left over is still something that can be used by another person. رواه أحمد وأبو داود وأبو لفظوس. Ahmad recorded this and Abu Dawood also reported it وأبو لفظوس. And this wording is the wording of Abu Dawood. وَالتِّرْمِذِي وَالنَّسَائِي وَابْنِ مَاجَةَ. At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasai and Ibn Majah also reported this hadith. وَالصَّحَاءُ تِرْمِذِي وَابْنُ خُزَيْمَةَ وَابْنُ حِبَّانُ وَالْحَافِظِ. And At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim, they all regarded the hadith to be sahih. So if you look at this hadith, it's corroborating what we have in the previous hadith. That is the hadith that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his ghusl from the leftover water of Maymuna. وقال أحمد. Ahmad said, أتقيه. I avoid this hadith. The hadith simak, because of simak in heart. ليس أحد يرويه غيره. Nobody يرويه غيره. Nobody reports this hadith except simak. وقال احتج مسلم بالسماك والبخاري لعكرمة. So Imam Muslim used سماك بن حرب as evidence. Likewise البخاري used عكرمة as evidence. So meaning Ibn Abd al-Hadi regard this hadith to be authentic. Regard this hadith to be authentic. Now as we said, we should separate between Fadlul Ma'i, the leftover water, and Al-Ma'u Al-Musta'amal, and one that has been used. So we are talking about the two now. The leftover water, this is what we want to talk about, the ruling. the used water, what is the ruling? Said majority of the scholars said the water that somebody has used in order to perform ablution or to take away to take away janaba or hajj or nifas from his or her body, that water that is dropping is considered musta'amal, and now musta'amal can no longer be used in order to remove another in order to take a ghusl or to perform ablution. We said majority of the scholars are upon this. So contrary to some scholars who are of the opinion that this can still be used, as long as what? It has not been changed. And we gave example of what we passed through. Some of us who have the bathtub in our houses, you fill the bathtub with water and you dip yourself into it while you are having janaba. So the water, according to majority of the scholars, since you have dipped yourself into it, is no longer pure for purification. So since you have used it to lift janaba away from you, that water cannot be reused by yourself nor by another person. Cannot be reused by yourself or by another person. This is the view of majority of the scholars. Why the minority of the opinion that you can still reuse it? You can still reuse it. Now, the fact that somebody abhors it, that's a different thing. So we are talking about if you use it, is your ablution valid? Is your ghusl valid? This is what we are talking about. The fact that you abhor the water, you detest it, that's a different thing entirely. So what you detest, another person may not detest it. What you detest, another person may not detest it. But those scholars who say you can't use it, they are looking at it from the angle of what? That having performed ablution in the water, or taking ghusl into water, has made the water musta'amal, not okay for reuse or purification. Why the other scholars said no, you can still reuse it. As long as what? It has not changed. Filth has not fallen into it, that we maybe change the color, the taste, the odor, so that you can still use it. So why those people say cannot use it, they say it is sahih. Now that if it falls on your body, for instance, that water, if it touches your clothes is pure, it's still clean. It's not pure. They don't see it as pure, but they consider it what? Musta'amal, that cannot be reused for purification. That cannot be reused for purification. Not that if it touches or drops on your body, that your body has become what? Filthy. No. The body hasn't become filthy, but you can't use it for ablution, nor can you use that same water for ghusl of janaba or ghusl of hajj or nifas. So this is one thing. Now the other one that you are treating is, now you are taking water, you dip your hand in the water and you are using. What is left in that bowl, for instance? This is the leftover. This is the one that it was said, as reported by Imam Muslim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take ghusl or do udu from. Despite the fact that Maymuna had taken from the water, had dipped her hands in the water to take ghusl of janaba or something like that. So what is left? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will use it. And when he was asked, when he was told that, I taken ghusl of janaba from the same water, the Messenger of Allah's response was that water that is left, largely, the water does not catch janaba. So it is also buttressed by the other hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas, which was reported by Abu Dawood, Imam Ahmad, and some others, as the author has mentioned, that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took bath from the leftover water of one of his wives. Now, one Humayj al-Himyari, from Humayj al-Himyari, he said, لقيت رجلا I met a man صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع سنين that was a companion of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم for 4 years. Who is the companion? A companion is من أدرك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمن به ومات على ذلك. The definition of a companion is the one who met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa amana bihi and believed in him, wa mata ala dhalik and he died upon that. If somebody did not meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one on one, such a person is not regarded as a companion. Somebody will be existing during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he did not meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one on one, who will not refer to such a person as a companion. Even if he embraced Islam, he would not be called a companion. Such a person, he will call him a muhadram. A muhadram is the one who was alive during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he never met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one on one. He never met him one on one, though he was alive during his time. He embraced Islam during his time, but he never met him. And that is why a lot of scholars, they consider that young boy, Amr ibn Salima, radiallahu anhu, they considered him to be a muhadram and not a companion. A muhadram, not a companion. Yes, he was living during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He embraced Islam the way his parents and his people embraced Islam. But he was not among the delegation that went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the delegation came back, he was made to be the imam because he had had contact with the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before then. So he had memorized some portions of the Quran from the companions. So when his people came back from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw that he is the one that had memorized more than them. So they had to make him the imam, to be the one to lead them in the 5 daily prayers. And his age then was around 7. His age was around 7. And that was why some scholars are of the opinion that if a Sabi, a young boy, had reached the age of 10 years, that he can differentiate between left and right, such as a child can be made an imam. Why the jumhur of the scholars of book? He can only be an imam in nafila, not in compulsory salah. Not in composing salah. So, but what is correct, wallahu a'lam, is that it can be an imam as long as it can differentiate between the left and the right, and you know what he is doing. So, when he had reached the age of at-tabi'in. So, Amr ibn Salima was not regarded as a companion by a lot of scholars. Was not regarded as a companion by a lot of scholars. Yes, he was in existence during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he never met him. He believed, but he never met him. So if somebody met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam but did not believe in him, such a person will not be said to be a companion. Yes, he had met the Prophet, but he did not believe in him. If somebody met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him, but he later apostatized, such a person will not be regarded as a companion because he did not die on the iman. He did not die on the iman. So these conditions must be fulfilled. He must be in existence during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he must have believed in him. Then he must die on the belief. Some scholars will say, "Man ra'a an-nabiyya, whoever sees or saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So these scholars will say this definition using the word "man ra'a," whoever saw, may not be accurate, because there are some blind people who did not see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Amr bin Ummi Maktoum. He was a blind man. He never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, he met him. So the correct definition is that man adraka aw laqiya nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa amana bi wa mata ala dhalik. So this reporter said from one of the bosses, laqitu rajulan, I met a man, sahiba nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, who is the man? The name of the man was not mentioned. So ordinarily, we say this is what? Majhul. But the companions, according to the scholars of hadith, they said, As-sahaba kulluhum udul. The companions, they are all udul. They are all udul and thiqat. So whatever report the companion brought to us, we take it from them. We take the report from them. So we don't need to verify whether a companion is sick or not. The companions are said to be what? Thiqat. They are said to be udul. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said good things about them, so which is a kind of recommendation. Huh? So for somebody to now say, okay, he wants to restrict that to that of hadith, so that will not work. Because that of the hadith is what? Is lesser than what? Al-adalatul batina. That is somebody being a person that is adil, that is not somebody who is a fasiq. We have what is called al-adalatul batina, and we have al-adalatul zahira. And we all have what? That of a shahada. Somebody wants to testify, for instance, before the judge. So we say what? You bring two witnesses or so for that. Huh? That is that of shahada. Now the zahira is what we see. The person is not somebody who is a fasiq, somebody who is okay in things that Allah has commanded, is doing them, things Allah has prohibited, is going away from. So the companions, they are good in this area. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the al-adalatul batina, that is what we cannot even see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared them in that aspect. So if they are cleared in this aspect based on many verses of the Quran, Muhammadur Rasulullah wa alladhina ma'ahu wa shiddal al-kuffar wa hamahu bainahum, we have verses like that. Wa alladhina jau min ba'di yaqulun rabbana ikfir lana wa liikhwanina lisabaquna bil iman. We have verses like this. We have verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Like that. Many verses of the Quran speaking good of the companions. So when it comes to issue of hadith, will not be what? Now limiting them to what? A lesser thing. What is ayah which has to do with the bad things that people can see? Allah has what? Allah has given them pass mark. So it means they have more than fulfilled what the scholars of hadith are requesting for. So that's why the principle is what? As-sahaba kulluhum udul. And they are thiqat. They are thiqat. So, yes, when somebody is a thiqat, that doesn't mean he cannot make mistakes. He can make a mistake. But generally speaking, they are thiqat. So, When we say somebody who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it means you are talking about somebody who is a thiqah, who is an abd. But the tabi'un, you don't treat them the way you treat the companion. You don't treat the tabi'un the way you treat the companion. And that's why if there is a jahala among the tabi'un, our scholars, they verify more on that. But if it is a companion that is majhul, so we are less concerned because they already was, they already have the adala. So, Hamid Al-Himyal said, I met a man who accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arba sinin, for 4 years. If somebody accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a day or less than a day, he is said to be what? A companion, just for a day. So not talk of somebody who did this for 4 years. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 4 years or thereabouts. He was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 4 years. And he narrated more ahadith, or most ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he will always be with him. Unlike other companions who go to market, to trade, to buy, sell, Abu Radallahu anhu will always be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he would hear more things from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that other companions did not hear or would not hear. Kama sahibahu Abu Hurairah. The reporter said, the way Abu Hurairah had accompanied him, meaning it was not Abu Radiyah the man was referring to. Qali said, Na'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tattasil al-mar'atu bi fadli ar-rajul aw yattasil ar-rajulu bi fadli al-mar'a wa liyaghtarifa jami'a. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade a frowned at a woman bathing with the leftover of a man and vice versa. This is a kind of what going against those two ahadith that you have read. Na'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yaktasila al an tattasila al mar'atu bi fadli ar rajul aw yaktasila ar rajul bi fadli al mar'a. Messenger of Allah forbid or frowns at a woman bathing with a leftover water of a man and vice versa. When he has clarified the way, and they should be taking scooping from the same bowl at the same time. So this hadith goes against the two previous ahadith. How are we going to relate with it? Some said the original ruling was it was not permissible. But later, those two ahadith came to say what? It is permissible. Since it is left over water. But the original ruling is that it was not permissible. So some scholars have understood it this way. Some said, what we should do is to reconcile between the two. La yusaru ila al-naskhi illa idha ta'adhara al-jamur. We don't resort to what this has abrogated it, except if it is what? If it is difficult to reconcile. What is the reconciliation? They said the nahi here is not nahi tahrim, it's nahi at-tanzih. It's not like it's haram. Rather, it is detested. Because when the woman, for instance, is taking a ghusl, what is dropping from our body will be dropping into the water, and this make it somehow abhorrible. It will make it detestable. The same thing if a man is also doing that. So somebody is pouring water on his body or a body, and you have some what drops dropping in the same bowl or in the same bucket. So that there is a kind of detestation here, that this is what this second hadith is talking about. But the first hadith, or the first two hadith, have to do with the permission or the permissibility, that it is permissible to do that, to use it. Only that it is detested based on the second hadith. So some did the reconciliation this way. And I think this, wallahu alam, appears to be what? To be a stronger opinion. Rather than saying what the hadith that naha an taktasila al-mar'at bi fadli ar-rajul wa an yaktasila ar-rajul bi fadli al-mar'a falyaktarifa jami'an. Rather than saying the hadith is what is mansukh, is abrogated, because we do not know the tariq of nasakh, the date of abrogation. So we can easily reconcile between the hadith that it is detested but is not haram. Detested because of what one can see when somebody is bathing from a bowl. So some droppings will be dropping in the water, so which may make it look abhorrent. Make it look abhorrent. So this is what the conclusion. So this is the rule of the leftover water. So the first one we talked about, the ruling of the used water that drops, dropping, or the one who has dipped himself in a bathtub, for instance, or a big bowl or a reservoir. So dipping himself in that water, we said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one should not do that when one wants to take the ghusl of janaba. If one does that, the janaba is lifted, but the water becomes musta'amal, according to majority of the scholars, and it's not something that is okay for one to use for ablution or for ghusl. Sort of rendering the water that way, why not take from the water and use to take your bath or to take your ablution? Rather than bathing in the water, so or inside the water, and the water is not fluid. So if the water is flowing, then it's a different thing. But because the water is not flowing, so don't take your ghusl of janaba in it. Because the water is not flowing, don't perform ablution inside it. Because the water is not flowing, don't urinate inside it. Not to talk of defecating inside it. But if the water is flowing, that has a different ruling. So with this, we have looked at some of the ahadith that talks about the ruling of stagnant water. So some of these things, we may not really get them until you are confronted with a situation like that. Take for instance, in some of the mosques where they put water, the fresh water, and put it down. So people come, they take water to perform ablution. Let's assume somebody has a kettle, for instance, that they have taken to a toilet, and that kettle, for instance, has caught some urine, for instance. Maybe the kettle is dropped on urine. So when the person takes the kettle, for instance, and he wants to take water from the reservoir, from the drum, so the drop of the urine from the kettle falls inside the water. So if you look at the drum is not auto to cool according to the majority of the scholars. So you can't use it for ablution. You can't use it for ablution. Yes, contrary to the Malikiya of the opinion that as long as that urine does not change the color, the odor, the taste, or does not change any of this, you can still use it. So you see where the scholars differ. Now, another thing is that that drop of urine, if you look at it from the medical angle or the health angle, it will be something that can lead to something else. So that's why we ought to take things like this seriously. So when you are taking water, make sure you do not do it in such a way that will affect the water, going by the view of the majority of the scholars. So this is on how to relate with the water that we are using. Now we talk about the water, that the used water is not okay for purification according to the majority of the scholars. Now can we use it for other than water purification, other than that, maybe use the water that has become used, can we use it for something else? So those who believe that you can use it for purification, can use it for washing, of removing filth, or you can't use it. Majority of the scholars stipulate that the water that you are going to use to remove filth must be ma'u tahur, the water that you can use for lifting of the abstract impurity. It's the same water that is qualified to be used for what? For the lifting of physical impurity. So that's why these scholars they are not in support of using anything to remove filth like feces, like urine, except that thing has been stipulated by the Sharia or has been approved by the Sharia. That it is water that you must use originally. Because Allah says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا, and we send them from the sky, مَاءً طَهُورًا, a water that is fit for purifying. So this is the basis. وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً يُطَهِّرُكُمْ بِهِ, and he sends them from the sky water in order to purify you. So al-ma'u al-mutlaq, the absolute water, is what you use to take what? What you use to take ghusl, what you use to perform ablution. What you use to take ghusl, what you use to perform ablution. What about lifting of impurities? They said the same water should be used. So these people, if you want to go by the majority of the scholars, you cannot use other than water, except if it is what mentioned by the Sharia, as we shall read, inshallah, some examples that are mentioned in the Sharia. But if it's not mentioned in the Sharia, what you should use is water, absolute water. That is what you should use. So, and this takes us to this theming of a thing. Like some of the quotes that where you dry clean them just by steaming, not that they add water to it. That is, it is the steam that we dry clean the clothes. So this, according to the majority of scholars, they won't support it. You must use water. If that cloth has what filth in it, when we say filth, you are referring to things like urine, like feces and the like. You must use what? You must use water. It is not sufficient that it has been washed, dry cleaned, maybe the use of steam. So the use of maybe a kind of detergent without the use of water will not be sufficient. Will not be sufficient. So according to this view. Just as they say, it must be absolute water that you use in order to take ghusl of janaba and to perform ablution, they also say it must be absolute water that you use to remove filth. But the minority, the Hanafiya, they have the opinion that no, filth is not like what? It's not really ibadah. It's not really ibadah. So the most important thing is that filth is removed. You can use anything to remove the filth. As long as the filth is no more there, then the item becomes pure and clean. So it's not enough that you use absolute water. And this is the more correct opinion. So inshallah, when we get to ahadith talking about this, we will be shed more light. So this inshallah is what we have to say today. Would be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May he subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings and accept our ibadat. Inti abara wa sani shoki awna ni umidilu atibara wa tele uge umiti akmasi bikan lakujiye patajulo iwo umiti awnyamando nibi ilewe wa kini tanto ni bato to se pe awon eyan o pon mi sinu e ti won ma awo ninu re a ti won ma luwe ninu re eleyi ati kawe omi ta wa fuwe ka gba ajo sibi kan abi ka salwala omi ti a fi se alwala ka gba ajo sibi kan eleyi ọ̀nà àwọn afẹ́sì a máa pè ní almáwú almustaamal omi tán ti lò fún iṣẹ́ ẹ̀jọ́sìn kan. Omi tá a bá dẹ̀ ti lò fún iṣẹ́ ẹ̀jọ́sìn kan that is a ti wẹ ìwẹ́ bíi janaba la ń sọ o àbá a ti wẹ ìwẹ́ aik. So omi tá a bá ti lò fún iṣẹ́ ẹ̀jọ́sìn kan wọ́n láàbí tún un lò mọ́ gẹ́gẹ́ bí ọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ àwọn afá bí wọ́n ṣe sọ. Àrínú àwọn àfáà kan ní a sì lè tún lò lópin ìgbà tó ṣe pé kò bá tí kúrò ní omi bákan náà àwọn nǹkan tí máa sómi dẹ̀gbin ò tí kó sí sọ pé a sì lè tún lò. So eléyìí òun ní kí ó tẹ̀wọ̀n jù ṣùgbọ́n ó ní ṣe pẹ̀lú bó ni ẹ ṣe ní ìkórira sí àhá. So ṣùgbọ́n ṣá lè lò á lè lò eléyìí nǹkan tí à ń gbé yẹ̀wò. Àwọn àfáà tí wọ́n sọ wípé a lè lò ó ìtọ́fọ̀ àtọ́ fi sọ bẹ́ẹ̀ ni pé ìtàn gbọ́yé bí ọ̀rọ̀ àdẹ́gbọ̀wà muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wípé kéèyàn kan nu yín kí ó má wẹ ìwẹ jànáàbà níbi omi tó dárogún irú bátọ̀p ta mú alákòjú ẹ̀sìn ó ti di omi tó dárogún. So kéèyàn kan wá ló ń fẹ́ wẹ jànáàbà nísìnyí kó a kó sínú omi yẹn kó fọ gbogbo oríkèéríkè rẹ a lè ti wẹ ìwẹ jànáàbà ni. Ṣùgbọ́n irú ẹni yìí nísìnyí omi tí ó wẹ inú ẹ tó jáde inú ẹ yẹn a ní ó ti di máwo mustaamal. Bàbá mi sọ pé kéèyàn kan nu yín má wẹ nínú omi tó dárogún ìwẹ jànáàbà ẹni yìí ti wá ṣe ó ti wẹ nínú omi tó dárogún ìwẹ jànáàbà àbí ìwẹ àìkè ni kí ló ṣẹlẹ̀ sómi yẹn bí tẹnu àwọn àpótí kò yẹn àwọn kan ní omi yẹn a lè lò ó mọ́ láti lè tún fi wẹ ìwẹ ìjọsìn ní a lè lò ó láti lè fi ṣàlùwàlá mọ́. Sọ àwọn akẹ́kọ̀ọ́ yìí àwọn kejì nínú ìtànàbì ìsọ̀kan ìtànàbì ìsọ òun ni wípé ìkórìíra téyìn òun ní fún omi yẹn torí pé omi téyìn kan ti wẹ̀ nínú rẹ̀ ní bóò ni èyàn ó ṣe tún máa wẹ̀ nínú rẹ̀ àbí yóò ló fẹ́ burú omi bẹ́ẹ̀ ṣàlùwàlá. Sọ wọ́n nítorí ẹ̀ ni wọ́n ti bèèrè lọ́wọ́ àbúrò rẹ̀ àtòkè fún wọn ní kẹ́yìn ẹ ṣe pẹ̀lú omi yẹn ó gbàtà ẹni kó mọ̀ wẹ̀ nínú ẹ̀ omi àtànà wà lóhun tánà wùlà kó burú omi yẹn kó lọ fi wẹ̀ kó ṣe kókó kó sínú omi yẹn bẹ́ẹ̀. So eléyìí jẹ́ àkọ́kọ́. Ẹ̀kejì tá a tún sọ̀rọ̀ ń parẹ̀ ni ìgbà míì a pọn mi korobá lápèjúwe ńsìn àbí omi àtinúgbà kan tá a fẹ́ fi wẹ̀ ní abáfẹ́bí ṣàlùwàlá. Omi tó ṣẹ́kù nígbà tí àwa ti wẹ ìwẹ̀ tán omi tó ṣẹ́kù eléyìí ni wọ́n ń pè ní fadlu tọ̀húrù àlùmọ́dá àbí fadlu tọ̀húrù arájò. Omi tó ṣẹ́kù nígbà tí ọkùnrin wẹ̀ tán àbóbìnrin wẹ̀ tán aladisi meji lori e ti adisi meje ti fe se bi e ni takura won ikan so wi pe anabi muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam o ma n we pelu omi ti maimuna ba loku eleyi lenu sahih muslim ikeji so pe anabi muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam o we pelu omi ti kan ma awon iyawo re loku deyi pe iyawo yen so fun pe oluse olorun oba mo ma fi omi yen wo janaba ni dati so mi to sekun yen omi to sekun ninu omi ti mo fi wo janaba ni o anabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam oni omi o ti ni janaba omi o ti ni janaba so adit mejeji aka kun bi adit kan adit keji to bi se beri ta pele yo ni banabu muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so pe kenya kan nu ni abi ki okunrin ko ma ki obirin ko ma we pelu omi tokunrin loku be ni okunrin na ko na ma we pelu omi ti obirin loku we ta kan si we bi we janaba lan so so wani anan sallallahu alaihi wasallam patan be lowo anan sallallahu alaihi wasallam kan be di kan jowe po wani jowe po lo je pe yawo anabi muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam atanabi jo mo nwe po ti won o jo mo towo bonu igbale kan na so hadith ile yo se bi eni ta ko hadith a ti akoko ta nwa awon apa mi so ike ikan ti pa ikeji re ni awon kan ni mu ko pare èyí tó ní pé kó mọ́ wẹ́ pẹ̀lú omi tó lòkùn yẹn yìí nítorí ìkórìíra ló fi sọ bẹ́ẹ̀ torí pé ẹlòmíì tó wá ń wẹ̀ nísìnyí omi ẹ̀ yóò kàn dé kó mi máa dà sínú omi tó ṣẹ́kù ni so eléyìí ni ẹni tó wá ní ìkórìíra lè máa fẹ́ lè lò ó lè máa fẹ́ lo omi yẹn torí ààrẹ sọlá àtọ́lá òní káwọn èèyàn má ṣe so ó túmọ̀ sí pé nǹkan tó jẹ́ interpretation ni kò ń ṣe pé nǹkan tó jẹ́ haram eléyìí alóhùn ló tẹ̀wọ̀n jù nínú nǹkan tí àwọn afọ àti wọn sọ fákẹ́mọ́ lára nǹkan tá a tún sọ òní pé àwọn afọ ọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ wọn gbà pé tọ́ba fẹ́ mú ẹ̀gbin kúrò lára àbí lára aṣọ wa ẹ̀gbin afẹ́ mú kúrò lára àbí lára aṣọ wa kí a lo omi tí ojú omi tá a lè fi ṣàlùwà látàá lè fi wẹ̀ òní pilẹ̀ àfi tàbá rí ibi tí ẹ̀sìn bá ti sọ pé a lè lo nǹkan míì lókù ṣùgbọ́n tá a bá lọ lo nǹkan míì láì ṣe pẹ́ sí ló la lè lo tá a lo mi ọ̀gọ̀rọ̀ àwọn afọ àgbà pé kí ni àní àìmọ́ra yẹn àti ń ṣe bí ìgbà tó ṣe pẹ́ gbé ṣì ń bẹ lára wa náà ni ṣùgbọ́n rẹ́mi tá a sọ pé abu hanifa eléyìí èyí tó tẹ̀wọ̀n lọ́dọ̀ ṣéṣe fẹ́mi tèmi rahmahullah ta'ala àwọn gbà pé intaba ti le fi mu ẹgbin kuro ìyẹn ẹgbin tá n fojú la sọ bí ìgbẹ́ bí ìtọ̀ kó ṣe àti kúrò lára òun ni kókó tó bá ti kúrò lára aṣọ wa àbó kúrò lára wa ó ti tán ṣòkò bá jẹ pé pé omi tá a lè fi ṣàlùwà la lò kò bá lè jẹ pé omi tá a lò kò ní omi tá a lè fi ṣàlùwà la ṣùgbọ́n omi ò tí ì di ẹ̀gbin fún rẹ̀ kò bá lè jẹ pé nǹkan míì la lò ní nínú àwọn nǹkan tí ó jẹ́ nǹkan tí ó dàbí omi bí kéèyàn lo kerosene nísìnyí láti lè fi mú ẹ̀gbin kúrò kó lo bí petrol kó lo bí chlorine kó lo bí àwọn detergents àti bẹ́ẹ̀ bẹ́ẹ̀ láti mú kúrò ṣẹ́gun yẹn ṣàti kúrò lára aṣọ yẹn so èyí tó jẹ kókó nìyẹn so eléyìí òun ni tí ó tẹ̀wọ̀n jù bó tẹ̀jẹ́ bí ọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ àwọn afá wọn lọbẹ̀ ṣèyí tọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ lọ òun ni pé omi nìpìlẹ̀ a lè wá mọ́ lomi tá a bá rí ẹ̀rí tó sọ wípé ká má lomi ẹ̀yí pé a lè lo nǹkan mi lápèjúwe ńsìn ẹni tí ó fi bàtà yìí bẹ́ẹ̀ ṣé dandan ni kó lomi àbó lè fi ẹ̀pẹ̀ kó fi gbó tí bí irúgbẹ́ yóò fi kúrò bẹ́ẹ̀ so ẹnu bẹ́ẹ̀ kó lórí pé ó lè fi gbígbẹ́ ṣáà ti kúrò bí bàtà torí tí anábọ̀ muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sọ pé téèyàn kan ní bá wọn mọ́ṣáláṣí ni kó bàtà rẹ̀ ò tí kó nù ú pẹ̀lú ẹ̀pẹ̀ ìgbẹ́ ó lè fi kírun so àwọn jùmúrù àwọn àfa àwọn eléyìí kan ti rẹ́rìí fún èyí tá a bá rẹ́rìí fún àmọ̀ yọ kúrò bẹ́ẹ̀ níti ẹni tí ó ṣe ìgbọ̀nsẹ̀ tí ó wá fẹ́ nùbí ṣé dandan ni kó lomi láti lè fi tábà àbó lè fi nǹkan mí tábà bí òkúta àti bẹ́ẹ̀ bẹ́ẹ̀ lọ wọn láti tún rẹ́fídẹ́ǹsì fún yẹn náà ṣùgbọ́n tá a bá rí ẹ̀sìn sọ pé kí ẹ lè lo eléyìí ìpìlẹ̀ ni pé omi gangan la gbọdọ̀ lò dàti omi ta lè fi ṣe àlùwàlá ta lè fi wẹ̀ ṣe lè ní tọ́pọ̀lọpọ̀ àwọn afábẹ́rẹ́ ṣùgbọ́n èyí tó tẹ́ wọn láwọ aláwọ̀ ni pé ọ̀rọ̀ ká mú ẹ̀bí kúrò kò rí ṣe ìbádà kò rí ṣe ìbádà kẹ́gbìn yẹn ṣáà ti kúrò ni tọ́wá ti ṣọ̀ pé kò sẹ́gbìn yẹn ń bẹ̀ mọ́ ó ti lọ náà nìyẹn tó kò jẹ́ bí èèyàn ṣe jẹ́ tó lè kò ní ṣókí nǹkan tí abára wa sọ sọ abẹ́láwọ̀ bá subhanahu wa ta'ala kí ó ṣàánú àkóṣe àlékún àgbáyé fún ẹnì kọ̀ọ̀kan wa wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.